Hey there, Moto America fans. This is Paul Carruthers. I get really tired of introducing this show, Sean Weiss. I'm going to make you start doing it more. It's like every time I go, hey, this is Paul Carruthers, communications manager for Moto America. This is our off-track podcast with Sean Weiss. Hey, Sean, how's it going? And then we talk about the weather. And so let's just go right into the weather. You're freezing. Our guest today is freezing. And I do have a long sleeve shirt on, but
yeah, only it's because rough for
I
you.
Grabbed out of the drawer.
It's so rough. It's so rough for you. Yeah, we're into this deal where for February, I always say it's like it's the shortest month and it's the longest damn month for where we live, because it seems like, especially here, we don't get a lot of snow. But in February, it seems like when we get snow, we get it like every single day. And that has been the case, even though we're only a few days into February. It's like it's literally snowed every day. It hasn't been warm enough for it to really melt at all. And then we have our guest who's also freezing, but I guess he's only getting rain. So, you know, it's degrees of discomfort for all of us, I guess.
Yeah, he's a little whingy today because, you know, we talked to him before we got started and, you know, he comes from sunny South Africa and it's probably 85 or 90 there. And then he comes to Atlanta and he's whinging about the cold and, you know, wham, 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 I've got a broken leg that's almost better, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk to the little whingy Matthew Skultz. Hi, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing, guys?
It's always nice to hear your voice, and it's always nice to have you back in the country, because that way we know, like, when we go test and we go race, that you're actually here and not held somewhere else because of visas or COVID or something like that. So it's cool that you're here and on the ground.
No, I mean, perfect. Thank you, guys. But I mean, that was one of the reasons that I came back to the country earlier than I should have. I was supposed to be flying out on February 15th, but I think it was a Wednesday or a Thursday. We got news that there was going to be a ban for all South Africans coming in on the Saturday. So on that Wednesday afternoon, organized a flight out of there and then got to the United States on Friday afternoon, a couple hours before the travel ban. So yeah, made it back just in the nick of time.
Yeah, it's weird. I had heard, Matthew, that on the news, is it correct that actually South Africa is having a fairly tough time with COVID-19 right now? Is that right?
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, we have some new variant down there. So I think it's just really made things way more difficult. And apparently it's more contagious. So we actually went into a second lockdown, where we weren't allowed to have social gatherings and everything else, and you weren't allowed on the beaches, and they had curfews. So it was very different going back home to what I'm used to. But these are very weird times right now, and I think you just kind of have to go with the flow.
I touched on it briefly, but let's start with the bad part of 2020, and that was obviously you getting injured at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You still ended up fifth in the championship, despite you didn't score points in the final six races. So you did end up fifth. I think you're only like 1 point behind Tony for fourth.
Yes, I know. Tony put me in the very, very last race there, but I guess that was payback for the third race of the season. So
right.
He got me good.
Well, it always comes back around, doesn't it?
Yeah, always does. Karma's a bitch, right?
Yeah. Well, so you broke your leg, and let's go back to that. Obviously, you went home and you've been recovering ever since. Where does it stand at this point? I see you've been riding motocross, so it's obviously healed to the point where you can do things like that.
Yeah, I actually broke my talus bone, which is a bone in your foot. I smashed it into seven different pieces, and then I tore my quad tendon off of my kneecap. So it was a very difficult, and it was very difficult dealing not just with like broken bones, but also with ligament damage and tendons, and you know, all of the muscle work. But yeah, I mean, it's probably about 16 weeks on after the crash now, and I'm walking around fine. You know, I kind of have been cycling, and yeah, I got on the motocross track on Tuesday for the first time since. I did ride the motocross bike back home on like farms and stuff, but I wasn't actually doing like jumps and riding through corners. But yeah, it was very, very, very nice on Tuesday to just get back out there and just ride. But I can definitely tell that my fitness and isn't where it should be. But you know, I think we have another 2-3 months until the first race. So I'm just looking forward to training hard and getting back to full fitness and leaving and just getting back to where we were last year.
Is this the worst injury you've had?
I would say probably, besides maybe 2010 in the Red Bull Rookies Cup, I nearly lost my foot.
Yeah, your foot.
Yeah, and it was that same foot. So, I mean, I think that my right leg is a little bit busted up. But, yeah, I mean, I would probably say that it was one of the worst crashes. And just the whole surprising part about it was, the actual crash wasn't that bad. I mean, I was perfectly fine, but it was just very unfortunate that I was hit by Cameron's bike afterwards, and that's what did all of the damage.
You know, Matthew, it's ironic that the last time we had you on the podcast was leading into that weekend at Indy. So, you know, we've talked to you, but not on the podcast. That's one of the other reasons we're going back and discussing everything. But regarding that leg and I thought your rehabilitation was incredibly fast. I mean, when you showed a video of the mobility in your knee, I thought that was going to take a lot longer than that. But, you know, I've learned not to doubt you and your fitness. You're kind of superhuman from that point of view. And, you know, I call you a Power Ranger a lot of times. do you right now, I mean, do you have full mobility in both your knee and your ankle? Do you feel, does it feel funny to you? I mean, what's the situation right now?
You know, I can definitely tell that I don't have the full range of motion back, but for the most part now, I'm able to do body weight, some squats, and when I went motocross riding, it didn't seem to bother me too much. Just, you know, trying to weight the peg, it kind of hurts my knee slightly. But, you know, I just think that with a little bit more time and training and therapy that it will get back to how it should be soon. You know, because me and the Westby team should be having our first test coming up next weekend. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting back onto the superbike and just, you know, feeling everything out and seeing how I am riding at 100% on a full superbike.
Wow. So when you throw a leg over that Yamaha YZF R1 superbike and go around the track, that's going to be the first time you will be on a road racing motorcycle then at that test?
Yes. Yeah. First time on a superbike since the crash, which I believe was October 10th last year. So it's been quite a while, but I look forward to it. It's obviously I've been thinking about riding every single day, and when you're training, you know, you get motivated by thinking about the next time that you're going to be, you know, riding the bike. So it gives you a like purpose per se. But yeah, I mean, I'm just really looking forward to it, and we'll be going to the road Atlanta track, which is one of my favorites. You know, it's basically a like home track for me and the Westby team.
So, yeah, that's terrific. One of the things I wanted to ask you now, Cameron Bobier years ago had a scooter accident, and he, you know, fractured his kneecap, literally that bone, into like three pieces. And you know, different than your injury because you basically separated a ligament attached to your kneecap, as I understand it, or at least the part, you know, your thigh muscle.
Yes. Yeah.
So Cameron, I remember for a while, he had kind of a funny feeling in it. And obviously you guys get your knees down in the corner. And aside from your ankle, which is already, you know, its own issue and turned out to be a lot the worst of the two injuries. But just getting that knee down, is there sensitivity? Is it going to feel weird to you, do you think? Do you anticipate anything like that?
At this point, I think so, you know, because obviously when you're coming into the corner hard, you kind of want to dig your knee in just to kind of feel where the tarmac is. And if the front starts to push you, you kind of push up off your knee on the ground. And, you know, I can feel that when I kind of like bend it a little bit, that it does get sore. But I mean, like what you said, I'm going to have to find out when we actually go and test. But, you know, at this point, you kind of just have to push through and just deal with the pain until it gets better.
Okay, other than the fact that you're still a little banged up, and fortunately, I think it's one of those things that probably riding the motorcycle will be easier on you than everyday life. Sometimes it works out that way, you know, and hopefully that's how it is for you. But other than that, I mean, when you look at the coming season, the 2021 Honda Superbike season, I mean, you almost have to be foaming at the mouth, right? I mean, it's like, this is an opportunity here with Cameron Beaubier gone. I mean, I look at it and it's like, I can see, you know, there's six, maybe seven guys who can win races. All those guys could potentially win the championship. And you're firmly one of those guys. Does that like bring a lot of excitement to think about it in that way?
Yes, you know, definitely. I know that it's going to be one hell of a difficult season. There's so many fast guys there. And we say that every single year, but it just seems like, you know, this year that there's more guys that are capable of winning races. And, you know, it also gives me confidence that I'm one of the championship favorites. And it actually is probably one of the first seasons that I'm actually going to believing that I can be the guy to actually win, you know, whereas previous years it was that whole mindset of, you know, if we finish third in the championship, it will be a really good season for us because we're a private team and we had all these big factory names. And, you know, this year, the Westby team have really picked up their game. I feel as if that we should be one of the main championship favorites. So I'm just looking forward to getting out there and just seeing how we compare, because I know that obviously Jake and Heron will be super quick. Both of the M4 guys will be there. Lois Baz coming over. You know, there's just a ton of guys. I know I'm forgetting a couple now, but I mean, it's going to be a really cool season.
Speaking of, you just mentioned Lois Baz, and we're kind of excited to have him in the championship. I think he's going to be a little bit of a measuring stick to how we rank against World Superbike guys, because he's had some success there. From judging from our comments on Instagram, or on his Instagram, both and ours, it seems like you have a relationship with him. You've raced with him before?
No. Actually, when I went to the World Supersport Championship in 2012 and 2013, he actually was Tom Sykes' teammate on the factory Kawi Superbike team. And I used to actually watch him ride and think, like, you know, wow, there's this guy who's the same age as me riding in the factory team. And he was podiuming and, you know, doing really, really, really well, you know. So he was somebody that I looked up to, you know, and that I like always followed, because he was one of the guys that I saw that had something and had a very promising career. So, you know, it's obviously going to be an honor racing against him. And, you know, I'm sure that coming to these US tracks, they are slightly different to what the European guys are used to. So I think that might work in our favor. But, you know, it's not like I see him being quicker than what Cameron Beaubier was, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to be one more guy that should be part of the mix up front.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think he's I think he's just going to be one of those guys that slots in with everybody else, and And
hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're hopeful. You're hopeful that you dominate. We're hopeful that nobody dominates. And he's obviously hopeful that he dominates, but I don't see that there's going to be, you know, it is surprising sometimes that somebody does step up, and whether that could be you or it could be Gagne, it could be anybody. But the fact that we're going into this thing where nobody, you know, it's as equal as it's been in a long, long time. And the Instagram I was making reference to was you taking the piss out of his underwear, which I thought
was great. Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I just threw the comment out there just to see how he would handle it. And he actually handled it very, very, very well, you know. So that was just some friendly banter between.
No, we need that. It's kind of fun. And I've never met him before, but I've been working with him, you know, messaging him back and forth with some stuff that he's wanted. So he seems like a good guy. I think he'll be a good addition.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I also think that the Moto America paddock is a very friendly scene. You know, everyone talks, everyone are friends, you know, like it doesn't seem to be like the European paddocks where you kind of just only, like, you know, talk to your team and nobody really likes each other. No, so I think it will be just one more friendly guy slotting in and making it just a better championship for us, for the teams, for like future viewers and fans. You know? So it's just, I think it's a really solid move for the championship.
Matthew, so we've had a little bit of a change in the series, the schedule this year. Of course, our plan was that we were going to go to COTA to start the season like we had been doing with MotoGP, and then they postponed, and so we kind of were planning to postpone with them. Well, now the situation is that we're starting the season at Atlanta. We're not going to COTA at all because of what, you know, everything that's going on. And COTA is a track that everybody seems to think is a Suzuki track, although you won a superbike race there. So I take exception to that with, you know, the Yamaha.
The rain definitely helped.
I'm not going to say it, dude. I'm not going to say it. You won a race fair and square there on a Yamaha.
But
the fact
I'll take that, it.
Yeah, exactly. but the fact that you are, you know, based in Atlanta, that's where you live in America. And, you know, you mentioned that Road Atlanta, you're going to test there, which is terrific. And it's going to be the first round of the season, and it's kind of close to home. And it's, you know, you've got to be pretty happy about starting the season at Road Atlanta locally. And you'll have, you know, all your friends will be there. And obviously the team will have a lot of people there too. You must be pretty happy about starting it at Road Atlanta, I would think, right?
Yes, definitely. I think it's been one of the most successful tracks for me. And, you know, it seems that it really suits how I ride the bike. You know, I'm pretty harsh with moving it from side to side quickly. So, you know, I think it's a track that definitely suits me, and I've always done pretty well there. So, you know, hopefully we can just start off the season well, and then just continue from there.
Matthew, what I've never asked you this before, but you know, you mentioned Road Atlanta being a favorite track for yours. I think I know of some others that you like a lot, but if you had to decide, and this is nothing against the venue, but what are your favorite tracks, the tracks you feel that you the most comfortable on, and the ones that maybe you struggle with a little bit more, if you had to, you know, make that distinction?
You know, it just seems like all of the tighter, twistier, more technical tracks seem to suit me better. But all of the horsepower tracks, you know, I just seem to kind of struggle, you know, slightly, like at the road America circuit. Usually was a difficult track for me, but you know, last year it seemed to go pretty well, you know. So so hopefully that this year we can just do fairly well at the tracks that don't suit us and the bike, you know, just to kind of minimize the damage. And then the tracks that do suit me, you know, like a Jersey barber kind of tracks that we can actually try to maximize points at and try to get victories there.
Well, Road America went good right up until the point when it didn't.
Yeah, isn't that how it always goes?
We can thank Bobby Fong for that one, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just one of those corners that you slipstream somebody and you come in 5, 6, 7 miles an hour quicker than you were previously. And, you know, I think it was just one of those the unfortunate racing things. But he definitely ass-packed me pretty hard, you know. But yeah, I mean, it was a very good race between myself, Bobby, and Gagne, you know. So I'm pretty sure that those guys will be up there this year. So yeah, just looking forward to it. But I will make sure that I've got mirrors put on the side of the bike this time.
Yeah, that's a spot. I've been going there for obviously a very long time, and you guys aren't the first ones to get a little closer.
Tangled up there. Yeah,
I mean, it's just been one of those corners. I remember Doug Chandler and I think Jamie James or something like in 1989, which I hate to say that I was even able to go anywhere.
I wasn't even you know, born then, Paul, so you're giving away your age there.
I was 5, okay? So anyway, the addition of Lars Baz, is he taller than you?
I mean, last time I saw him, you know, personally, I was maybe 20, 21. So, you know, I don't think I've grown since, but he was quite a bit taller than me. So yeah. it will be nice to have one more lanky tall guy out there riding.
So he might be the guy you want to draft at Road America
for sure. But that Ducati's horsepower is insane, you know. I think just to even hold on to it down these straights will be something else, you know.
Hey, Matthew, I want to go back again and talk just a little bit about Indy. And I know I personally talked to you about this a bunch, and we have some very, very passionate fans, and we love that. We actually like to have conversations with them on social media. But, you know, there are still some people out there that don't understand that red car and what you're doing. So I want to ask you, did they try to fold you in that car and take you over to the medical center? What happened there?
The whole deal was that I kind of like, you know, got up from the crash, and I obviously wanted to get back to the pits as soon as I could, because my first thought was, okay, we need to get the bike fixed, and I need to get, you know, back to the pits so we can hopefully get back out there. You know, I never knew that my heel bone was coming out the side of my foot, and my foot was shattered and my quad tendon was torn off. So, you know, I was just kind of like panicking, and I was asking guys, you know, what would be the quickest way back. And then the safety car got there first. So I kind of was like, hey, you know, can I get the safety car guys to actually take me back? And then they were kind of like, they wouldn't really tell me yes. They wouldn't tell me, you know, that I couldn't do it either. So I kind of took it upon myself to kind of try to sit there and try to like gather my like thoughts and maybe see if I could like fit inside and, you know, realize that I got this massive helmet on. So, you know, there was no forcing of me, you know, into the medical car. It was kind of more just me, like, just in an absolute panic, like trying to get back to the pits, because at that point I think I was only a single point on the behind Gagne for a second in the championship. So I was just thinking about that. I didn't want to lose points and miss the race. So it was just a like whole bunch of things happening. But yeah, I mean, I definitely wasn't forced. Right. I mean, I was, nobody's forcing me to do, you know, nothing. So,
well, even the fact that you stood up, I mean, you wanted to get on your feet, right? That's like a natural reaction. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I just think that the, adrenaline pumping, you know, through me, kind of like just like made me, you know, get up as quick as I could. And, you know, obviously I tried to put weight on my foot, and I could tell that there was something, you know, wrong there, but, you know, I just tried to kind of push through the pain. And then as soon as I took the boots off and I saw blood coming out of my foot, I instantly realized that it was very, very serious. But yeah, and then just kind of walked over to the safety car and just kind of sat there waiting for the ambulance to get there, because I obviously realized that the last thing I should be doing is putting weight on my foot. So I just kind of sat on the edge of the safety car.
So let's shift over to some fun stuff. I want to ask you about what you did when you were over back home in South Africa. I mean, you were there over the holidays, and you had sent us that video of you feeding the elephant, which I thought was really cool and something you don't see in the US. So, you know, thank you again for sending that. But what did you do? Because obviously you didn't, you know, you said you went up to some farms, you were able to ride a little bit, but you were still fairly early in the rehab, or maybe not that early, but certainly earlier than now. Talk about what you did over there. What do you do for fun when you go back home? You know, you've probably got a lot of friends still there. Do you really cut loose and go nuts? I mean, obviously you got to see Kiara. Well, Kiara went with you and she's back. She hasn't come back over yet. So, you know, talk about life in South Africa a little bit for us.
Yeah, you know, obviously I spent 10 months out of the year here, you know, so I get 2 months back home, and in that time I just try to see friends, hang out with my family, see my brother back home, mom, dad, you know, and just, you know, try to go to the beach and, you know, just go motocross riding and just, you know, genuinely hang out and, you know, just kind of catch up, you know, because I'm very, very fortunate to have a very close group of friends back home, you know. So it's just nice to kind of go like back home and just hang out. But, you know, we play golf and mess around a lot and, you know, go to bars and regular things, I guess, you know, because obviously when I come here, you know, my sole focus is just about, you know, training and thinking about the next time that we are going out, you know, riding. So it's just kind of nice to just go home and just let loose a little bit.
Matthew, you've obviously traveled a lot around the world with Red Bull Rookies Cup, etc., and also, you know, around the U.S. with Moto America. Does it, most of us, a lot of people haven't been to South Africa. What would you compare it to of all the places you've been? Is it, because some people have told me it's kind of like Southern California, except obviously not as deserty, you know, more jungly, but is there any place that strikes you as being that feels like home?
You know, I'm from Durban, which is basically a little like surfer city back home. It's on the beach, you know, like by where my parents' house was, you know, so it's pretty similar to California, and, you know, it's fairly warm all year round. So, I mean, I think California definitely has the similar vibes to the city that I'm from back in South Africa.
Matthew, I recently discovered, so Red Bull did a documentary on the American riders that were racing in Red Bull Rookies. And there's a series of videos on YouTube, and I think I sent you a clip of one of them. But the thing that struck me in that is that, so it kind of follows Hayden Gillum and Benny Solis and, you know, Jake Gagne. And you actually play a pretty big part in those videos, because you're kind of always with those guys. And it cracks me up because you seem to be such good friends with all the American riders, because it seemed the video series focused on them and you were with them a lot. So did you gravitate towards those riders any more than you did some of the other riders in that series when you raced back then?
You know, I think that the language barrier definitely contributed to something there, because we were obviously really young kids. So I think, you know, lots of the you know, Spanish and French kids couldn't really talk English that well at that point. But also, you know, I just think that the American way of life is pretty similar to what I had, you know, back home. So, you know, I kind of just seen that we always had pretty similar, you know, personalities and, you know, just, you know, Hayden and Benny and Jake, they're all, you know, awesome dudes, you know. So it was just seeing that we always hang out, you know, together, you know. And then myself and Jake lived in Spain together after the Red Bull Rookies Cup when we rode for the same Moto2 team, you know. So I've always been pretty good friends, you know, with those guys. So it was pretty nice to come back to the USA from after not seeing them from 2010 all the way to 2016, you know. So you know, fortunately for me, when I came to the paddock here, I pretty much had a bunch of friends, you know. So I really seem to, you know, fit in well here, you know, and people have been very, very welcoming to me as a foreigner, you know. So I couldn't be happier with all the guys here that are part of these series. You know, everyone, you know, is really, really, really cool here. And I think that yeah, so I'm just very fortunate to be able to make friends.
You know, when watching those videos, to me, I mean, let me give you this analogy. Last time we had Garrett Gerloff on, we talked about when Garrett had his professional debut at New Jersey back in 2011. And to me, it seems like that was, you know, just a couple of years ago. I can't believe it was that long ago. And he thinks it was a lifetime ago. He thinks back to then. And I understand that when you're younger, you know, it's a greater part of your life. When you look back or think back to when you were racing Red Bull, does it seem like it was a long time ago to you?
I mean, it's weird because there are times when I feel like it was so long back, but then there's also times when, you know, I feel like, wow, you know, it felt like I was riding the 1-5, you know, last week, you know. So, I mean, but yeah, I mean, I was in the Red Bull Rookies Cup from 2008 until 2010, and those were 3 years that I will, you know, never forget. 3 years that really pushed my motorcycle career forward and actually made me believe that I could do something there, you know. So obviously I was just racing back home, and you know, I didn't really think that I could ever make it as a pro someday, you know. So I always think fondly back to then. So I mean, it definitely seems like it wasn't that long back, you know, to me personally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I feel about it too. But I'm old, so you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do think Garrett's only 23 or something, right? So 10 years ago is basically half of his life. You know, so.
That's true. Yeah. So you got back. I think you flew back and flew into Florida. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, fortunately for me, one of my best friends back home was actually going to meet one of his friends there, you know. So I just flew with him down to Miami and just spent the weekend there and saw one of our friends that has been working on the yachts there. So, you know, it was just nice to kind of fly from being with my friends back home to flying to the USA and meeting other friends here.
Well, it's great. I mean, obviously you're staying in touch with your friends back home and your friends here. And we already talked about, you know, the friends that you have in Red Bull Rookies that you still have. And I mean, that's kind of the takeaway I got from those videos is you just seem to be a person that is very friendly and open to talk to a lot of different people. I know you're like that with the fans too, but having that gregarious personality, you know, has suited you well because you don't seem to be afraid to really get to meet anybody or talk to anybody. Is that kind of the way your mom and dad brought you up with? That's, I don't know if I'd call it confidence, but you're comfortable around people. Let me put it that way.
Well, I mean, it definitely took me quite a long time because obviously, you know, I started, you know, so it definitely took me a long time to get past the whole the whole thing about people, you know, that they were like maybe laughing, or they would think like, you know, this guy's a bit of a, you know, he like can't even like, you know, talk like, you know, properly. And, you know, so I just used to always feel down and stuff. And then my like parents really helped me to actually get confident, and they started making me speak to people. And then, you know, just, you know, you kind of just get over the whole like worrying about what other people think of you. And, you know, I genuinely like talking to the people and hearing what they have to say, and, you know, just to meet people. And, you know, fortunately for me, like you said, doing the Red Bull Rookies Cup, it really gave me the opportunity to meet lots of different people from all, you know, different places throughout the world. And, you know, I was fortunate that I traveled from, you know, Spain throughout the whole of, you know, Europe. And then when I did the World Championship, you know, we went to, you know, Russia and all these other places too. So, you know, I've been able to kind of just, you know, mix with all different people. And I think it's like helped me to feel confident and just kind of be who I am and just kind of speak freely, you know.
Okay, Matthew, I've got to ask you this because everybody, you know, keeps talking about it, but Cameron's going to Moto 2 next year. Cameron Bovier, as we know, he's obviously had an incredible Moto America Superbike career. You've raced with him a lot. You've seen his talents. You've seen his demeanor. You know him really well. How do you think he's going to do in the Moto 2 World Championship?
Well, I mean, firstly, I wouldn't say that I actually raced with him. I was on the circuit, but he was always a little bit further up than I. So, but it was definitely awesome to see him over the last 5 years and winning championships and just pretty much dominating last year. And, you know, he's somebody that we always compared ourselves to, you know, like, oh, you know, Cameron's doing this time here, we need to get there. You know, so and it seemed that Cameron's first test on the Moto 2 bike went very, very well. You know, so I'm really, you know, rooting for him and hoping that he does, you know, well. You know, and I'm sure that he will. You know, he's always been a fantastic rider, and I'm pretty sure that he's going to make the country proud.
All right, well, that's a good spot to end our conversation. Matthew, it's nice that you're back in the country. I'm glad your leg's doing well, and it'll be nice for you to get on the bike next week. As you said, there's nothing quite like riding the bike to see where you're at. So hopefully it turns out well for you, and you can continue your work. We'll get down to Dakota for our test and then get the season rolling at Road Atlanta. So stay safe in the meantime, and do your thing. And again, thanks for joining us. I know Sean's got something to say here in closing, but it was nice having you again.
No, guys, thank you. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I mean, like what you said, I'm just really, really looking forward to the test next week. And, you know, just while I've got the final chance to talk here, I just want to just give a big shout out to the Westby team. You know, I know that they've been working hard, and they were very supportive when I was hurt, and they always checked in and, you know, tried to offer to help me, you know. And those guys are like family, so I just want to say a big thank you to them.
That's great, Matthew. Yeah, and you were great to have on, as always. I mean, when we get you on, we feel like we can talk to you forever, so we have to force ourselves to cut you off because we know you got other things to do, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it might take me longer to say what I want to, but yeah, guys, thank you for hanging in and letting me be a part of it.
You're a bonus. You're saying it all. You speak better than Sean and me put
together. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you. Plus, you got that awesome accent that the chicks did. So,
Yeah.
and you know, speaking of chicks digging accents, listen, this is a little point, going to be a little poignant for you, Matthew, because your lovely fiance Kiara is home in South Africa. And,
wife now. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, we got married.
Over there?
Yeah, unfortunately, the government banned social gatherings, so we weren't able to have the proper, have the proper wedding that we wanted to. But we went down to the Catholic Church and we got married, you know. So I'm very, very happy. She is the most special lady ever. You know, I love her with all my heart, and you know, I'm just really looking forward for her to get back here. You know, unfortunately, with the shutting down and the lockdown back home, we weren't able to actually change visas, so you know, I kind of just have to wait. But yeah, I mean, I'm a married man now. You know, the left hand is weighing me down.
Breaking news! I had no idea. I was sitting here. Well, it's even worse that your wife is in South Africa and not just your fiance. I mean, that's a shame that she's not here. But way to get it done, Matthew. So yeah, shout out to all the female fans that really gravitated towards Matthew. He's taking now. So. But hey, you know, from both Paul and I, pay Paul, I'm sure you want to say congratulations to him too here. I don't want to.
No, you did a good job because she is much better looking than you.
Paul, I am punching so far above my weight. That's a crime. But I mean, don't you think that most of the superbike riders are all doing a little bit better than what they should be doing? You know, chicks just dig the motorcycle riders, you know. It's just something there, right?
Yeah, you might not have done as well if you worked at Walmart.
No, I wouldn't think so. No.
So good. So let me make this segue. So we're talking about love connections here, and here's a love connection for you fans out there. We talked about it a little bit last week with Jake Lewis, but we have a Valentine's Day sale going on right now, and you go onto our website and you can save up to 40% when you use the code MOTOVDAY, and it's to tickets at Atlanta, Virginia International Raceway, Laguna, Pitt Race, New Jersey, and Barber. I mentioned Atlanta, Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta, the first track we go to. Matthew's one of Matthew's favorite tracks, so you can get tickets there, and like I said, 40% off, so there's no better gift to give for anybody, whether it's your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Make sure you get that done because it's way better than chocolate, which just makes you fat, and flowers that just go to hell in about one or two days. So, but you can have memories that last a lifetime by going to our races and getting to meet the riders like Matthew, who, as he said, will definitely have a conversation with you. Unlike some of these guys in stick and ball sports, Matthew will talk to you about anything you want to talk about as long as he's not on the track or having to go to the track to do some fast laps. So again, go to motoamerica.com/tickets, use the code MOTOVDAY and absolutely get your tickets at 40% off. And the sale ends February 14th, by the way. So get that done quickly and you'll get to see Hono Superbike riders and the rest of our paddock and the great stars like Matthew Schultz. Again, thanks Matthew for being on.
Thank you, guys.
He's pretty good at that crap, huh?
He'll do. He'll do.
Yeah, I mean, he said he turned it into a whole love fest. I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy over here.
I should have gone with a lower, like an FM DJ voice, you know, gone with a very, you know, well, hello now.
Yeah, a very slow, deep voice, lots of some candles up, yeah.
A little Barry White action, but...
All right, you guys, I got to get out of here. I got to go shovel some snow.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Paul, talk shit. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Cheers, boys. Bye-bye. Bye.